Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Alakshayantastam ativa vivala.
Alakshayantastam ativa vivala.
Vichu krushur deva gana sahugana.
Vichu krushur deva gana sahanuga.
Vichu krushur deva gana sahanuga.
Vichu krushur deva gana sahanuga.
Anayaka shatru balina nirjita. Vanik pata binna navo yatanave. The demigods being severely oppressed by their enemies and being unable to see Indra on the battlefield were very anxious. Having no captain or leader, they began lamenting like traders in a wrecked vessel in the midst of the ocean. Purport. By Srila Prabhupada. From this statement it appears that in the upper planetary systems they are shipping and that traders there engage in navigation as their occupational duty. Sometimes, as on this planet, these traders are shipwrecked in the middle of the ocean. It appears that even in the upper planetary system such calamities occasionally take place. Upper planetary system in the creation of the Lord is certainly not vacant or devoid of all living entities. From Srimad Bhagavatam we understand that every planet is full of living entities just as Earth is. There is no reason to accept that on other planetary systems there are no living beings. Om Magyan Timirandasya Vinanjana Shalakaya Chakshurumilitam Yena Tasmai Si Gurave Namah Si Chitanya no Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Drati Swaparantikam Van. So, from Srimad Bhagavatam, we can understand. Otherwise, as long as we base our perception on our mind, on our intelligence, and our senses, we live in a three-dimensional reality, which is a reality, but it is a partial reality. There's more out there. And those who claim there's nothing beyond their observation are like blind men who claim there is no sun, simply because they cannot see the sun. Because they cannot see the sun doesn't mean the sun doesn't exist. It just means that their senses are limited. Their sense perception is limited. But people are grossly puffed up, and therefore they claim only that what they can observe exists. And therefore they cannot understand anything. They cannot understand why, for example, bad things happen to good people. We can understand through Shastra, Shastra Chakshu, that this life is the result, the precise result of our previous life. And whatever we encounter in this life, whatever it may be, happiness or distress, is nothing but the result of decisions we have made previously. So it's our own fault. We cannot blame anybody. And the more we accept responsibility for our suffering, the more we can actually go ahead and advance in Krishna consciousness. As long as we accuse, we cannot advance because we cannot understand the basic principle on which the universe is based, namely cause and effect. Everything has a cause and there's an effect. Whatever we do, for certainly there is an effect. Good deed brings about a good result. A bad deed brings about a bad result. It's simple. If you sow wheat, don't expect barley to come out. If you sow an apple seed, you don't expect a banana tree to grow. It's precisely as you sow, you shall reap. That's a universal principle. And it is penetrating the whole universal structure. That's why the word karma is so significant, because karma has two parts. Karma, as you do, you get. Two definitions. Karma means doing, and karma means also getting. It's very, in one word, the whole myth of innocence that people are living under in the material world is dispersed. That I'm suffering innocently. It's dispersed just if we understand one Sanskrit word, the word karma. Not at all that everybody is getting. So, through sense perception, no. We can only understand so much. We are limited to three dimensions. Take, for example, you were limited to two dimensions for a moment. You can see what is in front of you, in the back of you, left and right. These are the two dimensions, but you cannot see up. And you come to me and said, give me a piece of bread. And I said, yes. And I take this from the third dimension. You will not be able to see that. And I hand it to you, and you think I caused a miracle. Not at all. It's not a miracle. It's just technology. I have access to one dimension more than you. And so, in the Bible it says Jesus was feeding 5,000 people, prapti, siddhi, he had access to more than three dimensions. Very simple. Just access. And the truth is not two-dimensional, the truth is not three-dimensional. The two-dimensional truth is imperfectly reflecting the three-dimensional truth. Like if you look in a mirror or you make a picture of yourself, everything which is in the three-dimensional picture is in the two-dimensional picture, except depth, the third dimension is missing. And you cannot develop affection to a picture. You can embrace a person. Man embraces a woman. Woman embraces a man. Nobody will be happy with a picture. That's no good. So the three-dimensional reality is imperfectly reflected in the two-dimensionality. In the same way, the three-dimensional, the four-dimensional reality is imperfectly reflected in the within three dimensions. And the truth is not just two-dimensional or three-dimensional, multi-dimensional. There's no limit. There's no limit. When Mother Yashoda was looking in Krishna's mouth, what did she see? A universe. And she walked, saw planets. She saw the planet Earth. She saw India. She saw Vrindavan. And she saw herself looking into Krishna's mouth. And what did she see? A universe. And then she walked into this universe and she saw planets, etc., and India and Vrindavan. And she saw herself looking into Krishna's mouth. Lord is able to drive an elephant through the eye of a needle. This is not possible within three dimensions. That person who is able to associate with unlimited beings in a very individual way, in a very unique personal way, at the same time, that's Krishna. Because he's a multidimensional entity. There's only one person who can do that. I can talk to you right now. I have to filter out the rest of the audience. Otherwise, we can't have a discussion. But Krishna can speak to unlimited living beings. It is in the heart. Savasya chamridi sanivishto matta smithya gyanam apunamcha. It's in the heart of all. He speaks to everybody. At every moment, at every second, whether it's a bird or whether it's a beast, Krishna is speaking. At every second. Because he's a multidimensional entity. So people may fly in space 300 kilometers above ground in a spaceship. Big deal. Big deal. So much effort. And what do they see? Nothing much. Because the truth is not within three dimensions or limited to three dimensions. The truth is multidimensional. And we as human beings are limited due to karma to observe things in three dimensions. Theoretically, Einstein came to a four-dimensional reality. Schrödinger, German scientist, physician, he talks about eight dimensions. The eighth dimension is an information area, an information level, where unlimited information is stored about what is going on in the universe, including every person. And we know that mystics can access this information level. They can. Just like, I mean, if you, for example, go to a library, one of these Brigham Muni's libraries, I mean, the person reads, but actually he accesses through the mantras that are there. His information, it's not that the name is there. He's able, by the mantras, to access the information level. It's connected. And therefore, he's able to pull information from the information level down into the reality. This is how that actually works. So within two dimensions, we are limited, and the three dimensions, we are limited, and the distances in three dimensions, yes, it is true from Bombay to Calcutta is, 3,000 kilometers, but from a more than three-dimensional level, it's next door. I mean, I'll give you an example for this. Say, hold up. Say here is a point A and here is a point B. For a two-dimensional ant, it takes a long time. Here's Bombay, here's Calcutta. It takes a long time. For a three-dimensional ant, Calcutta is right next door. He can see. It's right here. You see, so for a yogi, he can appear here and disappear here and appear in Calcutta. It's not that he's flying on a carpet or something. He just has access to another two more dimensions than we have. It's a very simple example, really. You just need a feedback and you can explain so many things to people. I do it all the time. Multidimensionality. So he can go. I have seen with my own eyes a film in the German television in 1960-something. I had long hair, I had a beard, I looked like a poodle. And I saw a film, a yogi was put in Germany in an iron bubble. And they sealed the bubble and they threw it into the North Sea, 3,000 meters deep. And after a couple of minutes, blup, 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 the yogi came out naked. And they pulled the bubble up, the iron container, and inside were his clothes. And the door was sealed. So he had this ability that he could retract his physical structure on the atomic level and penetrate the molecular structure of the iron ball. That is a yogic power. Somebody knows what is called that city? Anima. Anima city. Anima city, lagima city, walking on top. So the foolish materialist, he is such a dog that he reduces his perception to the animal perception, practically speaking. Animals can only see very little. If you would bring a dog inside this room, would he be able to understand our discussion? No. He would sniff around and wouldn't find anything. You bring a pig, God forbid, into the temple. He would find no stool, and he will think these people are not cultured. So, because wherever a pig is, where culture means there must be stool somewhere. So, human beings are extremely proud, and therefore, due to pride, they're fool number one. They're fool number one. Blind men. We are blind. We have to admit we are blind. We can only see within three dimensions. And therefore, we ask Krishna to lead us. Lead us, Father, I'm blind. He has to lead us out of this world. Without Krishna's guidance, there's no way. Arjuna tried to speculate. And Krishna said, "You fool number one." And only when Arjuna said, "Shishyashtyam sharimam tvam papannam," now I'm a disciple, a soul surrendered unto you, then Krishna explained to him Bhagavad Gita. So out of this world, nobody escapes. As long as he's a fool. As long as there is the slightest element of pride. As long as we depend on sense perception, we will not be able to penetrate. Sense perception is actually a veil. It's like a curtain that covers that which is on the other side. And that is on, well, which is on the other side can be seen by those who are pure at heart. They can see. Yomam pashyati sarvatrasavam chamai pashyati tasyana pranashyami satchamina pranashyati. They can see. Vasudeva savamiti bahunam janamati jnanamamam prapadyati. Here's a point. Jnanamamam prapadyati. He surrenders unto Krishna, then Vasudeva savamiti. Before surrender, there is no knowledge. Krishna doesn't reveal himself to the polished idiots of the material world. Everybody in this material world, unless he listens to Krishna, is an idiot. The world is made out of idiots. Practically speaking, everybody we meet on the street is an idiot. It's a ship of fools. Fool's paradise. And only those who have that humility to understand, I know nothing, I have to hear from Krishna, the Shabda Brahma, then progress can be made and gradually everything will be revealed. On our own, we are incapable to penetrate even this universal sky. It completely depends on Krishna's mercy. Therefore, our tradition is based, or our knowledge is really based not on investigation but on revelation. That's why we talk about the descending path. It is descending. By the grace of God, Brahma could know. Tene Brahma Ridaya Rikavayam Muyanti Asura. By the grace of God, we may know more than the average karmi. Those who eat meat, they cannot know anything. They're barred from knowledge. Because they're offending the Lord. How would you feel if I eat your son? If I look at your son and take his arm. Oh, so soft. I would like to eat you for breakfast. How would the father feel? He would be shocked. Why do people do this? Because they don't see the soul in all creatures. That means they're fools. Because Pandita Samadashina, one who has knowledge, the standard of knowledge is Vidya Vinaya Sampani Brahmini Gavihastini Shunichava Shvapakicha Pandita Samadashina. He sees hati, elephant, dog, brahmana, everybody. He sees the soul in all creatures. And unless the soul is all seen in all creatures, one is a fool. As long as the soul is not seen in all creatures, the dual frenzy that we experience in this world between love and hate will go on forever. And the world will never find peace. Never. Just on this issue, if the soul is not seen in all creatures, if the soul is seen in all creatures, naturally we can understand that they're Krishna's paths and passes. And we respect the sons of Krishna and the children of Krishna. We have a sense of respect when we see the soul in all creatures. If we don't see the soul in all creatures, we have no respect. And materialists have no respect. They have no respect as far as the environment is concerned, as far as nature is concerned, as far as Krishna's nature is concerned. They don't respect the oceans. They don't respect the air. They don't respect the sea. They don't respect the trees, the beasts, the birds. There's no respect whatsoever. Before anything, ultimately, there's no respect before God. And therefore, naturally, there's no respect before nature. There's no respect before the religiosity of others. And so in the name of religion, religions have steamrolled each other. In the name of God. And the history of religion in this world is written in blood, practically speaking. No respect whatsoever. My way is a highway. There's no way that my way is not the highway. The highway is Krishna's way. God is giving the highway. His words are true. And outside of Krishna's words, everything is asat. He is truth personified. And to realize truth means to realize Krishna, means to realize oneself, means to realize one's relationship with Krishna. And that's the only thing what's worth to work for in this world. It is work, but it's worth it. If you don't work for Krishna, we have to work for Maya. Maya will overtake us. And we have to work in a factory. It's actually easier to chant 50 rounds a day and not fall into Maya and forget about being married and work in a factory. Anybody who chants 50 or 60 rounds a day, he doesn't think about sex life much. He's absorbed. What's easier, to chant for 6 rounds and be free and go towards the spiritual world, or to work 8 hours in the factory? I rather chant 6 hours. Think about it. So it's easier to chant a lot of rounds and be free from material attachment than to have to work like a dog, doing work which is totally unprofitable as far as spiritual life is concerned. Somebody may say, we are suffering in Krishna consciousness too. Yes, we suffer, but we suffer with profit. Whereas the materialists are suffering for nothing. We suffer with profit, they suffer for nothing. It's not easy to be a brahmachari, it's not easy to live in a temple, it's not easy to be in ISKCON. Not always easy at all. But it's worth it. We have to pay a high price. But even higher is the price a materialist pay. Much higher. Because by the end of the day, they get a kick in the head. They're going to just suffer everything they did. So is it worth the price we pay for a fleeting moment's gain, which in another day will only give us pain? It's not worth it. So we take knowledge from Shastra. If we take knowledge from Shastra, if we take, here, listen to the Guru Vakya. That is truth. That which is revealed in Parampara. Sakala Niyamata Yogunasya Parantapa. Outside of Parampara, there's only darkness. Krishna says, Sakala Niyamata Yogunasya Parantapa. It's all nonsense. No matter what people say, no matter what people write, whether the libraries of the world go up in flames, it doesn't make a difference. It's not that people are less knowledgeable if the libraries of the world go up in flames, as long as Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita survives. Because everything is sheer based on sense perception, One book is written after the other. So much time is spent on what? To elaborate on matter that nobody understands in the ultimate issue anyway, except Krishna himself. Lord Brahma is bewildered. He cannot understand how everything is going on. Nobody can understand Krishna's, how Krishna actually makes sense. Only Krishna can understand. So what is the use of all the literature? What is the use of it? By the end of the day, the only useful occupation, as it is stated, that this age of Kali is an ocean of darkness, O King, but there's only one good quality, namely the chanting of the holy name. Kaleya Doshani Dira Rajan Asti Eva Maha Guna Kirtanat Eva Krishna. Mukta Bandha, it frees us from bondage, Param Prajet. And it leads us to the supreme destination. It leads us out of this ocean of darkness in which we are living. Nide Kaleya Dosha Nide, an ocean of darkness. So as far as the scientists are concerned, in darkness, their theories are shining. Like fireflies bloom in the eve. Fireflies are very beautiful at night, you see them flicking, but only as long as there's darkness. If the sun rises, then fireflies have no meaning. So in darkness, their theories are shining like fireflies bloom in the eve. And so they follow that glitter and stumble, confused about what to believe. That's the situation of the high priests of the religion of modern science. Ultimately, they're confused about what to believe. So many ideas, so many different conceptions. Nothing comes close to reality. Nothing. Like Mother Yashoda tried to bind Krishna, she couldn't come close to reality. Krishna didn't allow it. The rope was always 2 inches too short. So in the same way, people can count the atoms. And still, the rope will be 2 inches too short. Krishna will be ahead. You cannot catch Krishna except through love. Like Mother Yashoda was ultimately able to bind Krishna by love. Yatamam prapadyate tam stataiva vajramyam. According you surrender unto me, I reveal myself. I reward you. So what is important in this world? Important is my personal relationship with Krishna. It doesn't matter whether I'm a big man or a small man. The problem is the same. Am I actually establishing my relationship with Krishna? One may be a big man in ISKCON, one may be the pot washer. That doesn't make a difference when it comes to developing your relationship with Krishna is concerned. That's the task everybody has. Let us not be, enamored by the race for status or position, like people in the material world. We lose the objective if we do so. The objective is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Samoham Sava Bhuteshu Namet Veshtyostina Priya, I'm equal to all, Krishna says. And whoever renders service to me, he's my friend, I'm in him, he's in me. So nobody's excluded. Everybody has the same opportunity to turn to Krishna or turn to Maya. It's our freedom. It's our decision. If you turn to Krishna, congratulations. If you turn to Maya, stupid ass. That's the situation. And if you turn to Krishna, Krishna will give us knowledge. He will give us understanding. Tesham Ivanubar Kampam Aham Agyana. Tam tamaha nashayami atma atma bhavastu jnana dipena basvata. My brain still that works a little bit. So out of compassion, I dwelling in the heart. Just listen to this. Out of compassion, I dwelling in the heart destroys the darkness born of ignorance. That is Krishna. Out of compassion, he's destroying the darkness. Krishna soya sama maya andakar. Wherever there's Krishna, there's sunshine. Wherever there's maya, nahi Krishna tayinayata pravartana, there's darkness. So there's no question of finding knowledge outside of Krishna. There's no question of finding peace outside of Krishna. There's no question to find a peace of mind. There's no question to find happiness outside of Krishna. Vasudeva Savagati. He's the goal of everything. Vasudeva Sava Yoga, Vasudeva Sava Kriya, Vasudeva Pram Jnanam, Vasudeva. There's this verse in Bhagavatam. Krishna is the goal of everything, the resting place of everything, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the middle, and the end. He's everything. And for a devotee, Krishna is everything. And therefore, Krishna does everything for the devotee. And the coward boys in Vrindavan, when Agasura came, they wouldn't fight with Agasura. Who would kill Agasura? It was Krishna. So many demons arrived. Who would kill the demons? Krishna. Why would he kill the demons? Because devotees were asking him, please, help us, help us. They were helpless. When Agasura came, who was sitting in the heart of Agasura? Krishna. Who gave Agasura the intelligence to go to Vrindavan? Maybe Kamsa. But who's sitting in the heart of Kamsa? Krishna. So the whole scenario is installed by Krishna. Every demon who came had Krishna in the heart. Tell him, go to Vrindavan. Give some heat to the residents of Vrindavan. Disturb them. With what aim? So that they would turn to Krishna. And Krishna then would kill a demon before breakfast. So Krishna is in everything. The long arm of God is everywhere. We should understand this. In every second, in every incident, there's a long arm of God in it. Whatever happens at every moment, anywhere. We may not see that long arm, but we should be convinced based on our philosophy that there may be causes high and low, but Krishna is a cause and the effect. My dear Lord, ekastvam eva sadasat vayam advayam cha svanam kritakritam eveha navastubeda ajnanatas tvayi janaya vihitu vikalpo yasmat guna vyatikaro ni ru parikasya. My dear Lord, your Lordship alone is a cause and effect. So he's a cause of everything and he's the effect of everything. There is, in the ultimate issue, there's only one living entity. And that's Krishna. And we are his parts and parcels. Simultaneously one and different. It's only one living being. The Supreme Personality of Godhead through his Svamsa and Vibhinamsa forms that are the Vibhinamsas are the living entities who incarnate in this material world. We are incarnations of Godhead in the true sense of the word, because karni, the word karna, means flesh. Technically speaking, there are no incarnations of Godhead. Prabhupada took that term because he came from Scottish Church College. But incarnations are only in Christianity. They are avatars. In Hinduism, in our philosophy, there are no incarnations of God. They are avatars. God descends as an avatar. He is not flesh. It's completely against our philosophy. Ajupi sanavya ma bhutanamishwaro. Parambhava majana to. What is this verse? Mama Muta Bhuta Maheshwaram. They think that I have achieved this form. So in the strictest sense, the word incarnation is that's us. We are incarnations. We have become, we are spirit souls, but we have become flesh. So congratulations to all of the incarnations of Godhead who are sitting here in this room. We are stupid enough that we are incarnations, that we incarnated in this material world, that we took flesh. All the fools took flesh. Those who didn't take flesh, they are in the spiritual world. And those who descend from the spiritual world, they are not flesh. They are avatars. Shakti Vesha avatar, Guna avatar, Lila avatar, like this. So in the ultimate issue, it is Krishna, his Vibhinamsas, his Swamsas, and then there is a material energy, which is also under Krishna's control. And it's impossible to overcome. Just like the coward boys couldn't overcome the demonics, demons, so in the same way, we cannot overcome the influence of the material energy. Even Surab Muni, he tried for 50,000 years on his own. And he was not successful. He was proud. He thought he could do without Krishna. He got defeated. Daivi isha gunamami mamamayaduratya mami vayi prapadyante mayamitantara. With Krishna, we can do all things. And Prabhupada is a living example how he was doing things because he had Krishna on his side. Yatra yogeshwaro Krishna. Wherever there's Krishna and Arjuna, there's victory. Extraordinary strength, morality, power. So with Krishna we can do all things. Without Krishna, we are nothing. Fool number one. So even as far as controlling the senses is concerned, we need Krishna for that. Our endeavor in itself is laudable, but we need Krishna. With Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is talking about in his Chaitanya Shikshamrita that just like in the Vrindavan, so many demons came to disturb. So in the same way in our heart, there are demons like lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And they're causing great trouble to the living being. Therefore, I mean, what is the world? What is the status of the world? You go to any conference. What is it? Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. There was a conference, Maharaj was talking about it, Devamrita Swami in Stockholm. The people who were conferring were driven by lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. That's all. So with these qualities, you cannot even speak truth. Not possible. You don't see truth, you cannot speak truth. You're a liar. As soon as you open your mouth, you say, I'm Mr. Meyer, you're lying. You're not Mr. Meyer, not Mr. Müller, you're a spirit soul. So there are these demonic forces in our life, in our heart. And while Krishna is controlling the whole nature, he gives us freedom. We are the only beings in this universe, the humans. There may be in forms of angels, there may be in forms of demigods, there may be in forms of dwarfs. They're given some freedom. The dwarfs even on this planet. I had one godbrother, disciple of, I forgot what his spiritual master is. His name is Janmastami. He went up to Badrinath last year. And there are different deities of Badrinath. And one is in different places around Badrinath. We know the main. There's one which is very high. Very high. And people discouraged him. The locals said, don't go there. It's too high. So he said, I will go. So when he walked there early in the morning, 2 o'clock, there's a flashlight. And finally, he reached, it was steep, up, he reached a forest. And every tree was very crooked, and a man, a sadhu, emerged from the forest. He told me personally. And he said, "What do you want?" He understood a little Hindi, this boy. He said, "I want to see such and such deity. It's right behind the forest." He said, "But the forest, watch the forest." So he walked through the forest, and all of a sudden, he realized that he was watched. True story. And he looked around and he saw many humans of this size, not bigger, said about this size, dressed in hats and belts, staring at him like this. And when they realized that he was realizing that he saw them, they ran away. He said hundreds of them in the Himalayas, this big, not bigger. So they're human beings in any form. And they're not. Krishna gives them some freedom. The rest of the nature is controlled, is ruled by God. But the human being has some freedom. And he can give himself to lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. Or he can ask the Lord to remove these unsavory qualities. And though Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that one should admit in Chaitanya Charitamrita every day that one is defeated by the material energy and therefore pray to the Lord to save one from these demons in the heart. And remember, Srila Prabhupada also said, "You are not afraid of Maya." He said, "I pray to Krishna every day not to fall into Maya." It's the same mood every single day. Because Maya can come any time. Maya came to Haridas Thakur. Maya can time. I know one brahmachari who chanted in last Kartik 192 rounds a day. He fell into Maya recently. From one moment to another. 192 rounds, that's something. That's not a joke, that's not a small thing. So, therefore, we have to take a humble position and ask Krishna to remove these demons. And he will. That's what he's waiting for. Just like he's waiting that the residents of Vrindavan take shelter in him. Then Krishna will kill the demons left and right. So we should, now in our heart there are these demons. And we should ask Krishna to rule our heart. Not that our heart is ruled by demons. We should ask, "Krishna, you rule the whole creation. Every bird is ruled by you. Every tree is ruled by you. The nature, the wind, out of fear, it is stated, the demigods work for Krishna. They're not independent. They do exactly what Krishna wants out of fear. There's one, the sun shines and the moon rises, etc." So human beings, they are not afraid of Maya. That's the point. And so we should pray to Krishna to reign, you know, to reign, to rule in our heart. Because if Krishna rules in our heart, then demons like lust, anger, and greed, madness, illusion, and envy have no opportunity to rule us. We need Krishna. It's not that Krishna will do everything. We don't follow the philosophy, this argument in the Sri Sampradaya, monkey philosophy or cat philosophy. Cat philosophy, the cat is carrying the kitten. The kitten doesn't have to do anything. We don't follow that. The Christians do. They think that we don't have to do anything. Jesus died for our sins. He's carrying us to the spiritual world. We can just do whatever we like. Any damn thing goes. It's a religion where lust and God somehow fits together. like most mundane religion. Most mundane religion, some or other, lust and God is in the same house. Not in Sanatana Dharma. These are two different things. So there's a song I want to sing to you. It's very unconventional. It's an English bhajan. There's no reason why there should be only Bengali bhajans or Hindi bhajans or Sanskrit bhajan. It's a bhajan in English. And it addresses exactly this issue. Let me see. Over all the earth, you reign, O high. God reigns over the earth, O high, the highest one. And he reigns over every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Over all the earth, you reign, O high. Every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me with all your power over all my dreams in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So may you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So may you reign in me again. May every word, may every thought, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. He's more to me than any earthly thing. So may you reign in me again. May every word, may every thought, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord. He's more to me than any earthly thing. So may you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me. Reign in your power over all my dreams in my darkest hour. You are the Lord of all I am. So may you reign in me again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Hare Hare, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
So this is a pious prayer. Lord, reign in me with all your power over all my dreams in my darkest hour. Because it means that I surrender my independence to Krishna. That I make myself dependent on Krishna. That I give all dharma, give up all dharma, mana dharma, this dharma, that dharma, whatever may be in our head. Sarva dharman prajyajam, mamikam saranam braja, aham tvam sarva papebhyo. Then Krishna will help us. He will free us. Only then. When he becomes the Lord of our heart again. In the spiritual world, Krishna is in the heart of everyone, of the denizens, of the Vaikuntha planets. There's nothing but Krishna in their heart. So here, in the material world, there's more than that. Krishna is certainly in the heart of every creature, but at the same time, we invited unpalatable guests in the form of lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy. And we can drive them out by Krishna's grace. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Nothing is more important than to chant Hare Krishna. It is the one thing that we have with which we are able to go to the other side. The deeper we go into it, the more we will understand that the holy name is nothing but Krishna himself. He has come to us to save us. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Do you have any questions? Yes. Why not? We need a devil's advocate.
So, just like in the song, okay, just like in the prayer that you were chanting, you were acknowledging some piety. So, one confusion that I've had is that in some of the traditions, we have saints who uplift whatever the sectarian religion is to a universal aspect. And we know that all the saints have that quality, whatever tradition they come from. But not always do they come from a tradition that's vegetarian. For example, Brother Lawrence, who lived in the 1600s, and he left some writings, but he left a whole...
Who was that?
His name is Brother Lawrence, and he actually was a cook in the monastery. But he had an experience of the Lord which was so deep that he left everything and joined the monastery. And he had such a powerful experience of the presence of the Lord at every second. And eventually, because of the power of his faith, noble men, very wealthy persons, even though he came from almost like a middle-lower class background, they really sought out his advice, and even nuns and priests. He wrote numerous letters, and he burnt them all before he left. But when you read these, they're so deep. They have the same mood of surrender and experience that actually is in our own literatures. You find in Saint Therese of Avila that same surrender. So it was always a confusion that I had that some of their lives were really quite extraordinary.
There are many saints in other traditions, but they are not saints because of the tradition. They are saints in spite of the tradition, because the tradition is very often so ignorant. If they follow the tradition, they end up going to hell, because the tradition tells them to eat meat, for example. So there are saints in spite of the tradition. There have been many. Saint Francis was way above the tradition. It goes to show that if somebody is sincere, he finds Krishna. Seek and you will find. That's what it goes to show. If somebody is surrendered, doesn't matter in what tradition, according he surrenders unto me, that's what it goes to show. That Krishna comes to him. That Krishna guides a person who's sincere. What is our safety belt in the material world not to be cheated? What is our safety belt? There's only one safety belt we have, and that's our own sincerity. That's the only safety belt there is. If somebody is sincere, Kauntiya Pratijani Nami Bhakta Pranashati, he cannot be conquered. So the only safety belt in the material world not to be treated, not even by Maya, is sincerity. So you find people who are sincere in every tradition. Our tradition, the wonderful thing is we're turning out saints by the thousands. By the thousands. People give up eating meat. People live on a very high level of renunciation. People follow very high principles. So you say knowledge similar to ours, but it's one rare person. I can think only some very rare souls in other traditions who come to this level of practice, of sadhana, of renunciation.
I think that I just wanted to make that a point in relation to that. What you're saying is really excellent, and I thank you. Just that I think it's important that we do acknowledge sincerity when it comes from other traditions, because sometimes we've heard preaching that was kind of hard, so we would share, well, there has been a tradition where there was this person and he was very sincere, and maybe there was meat eating involved, but this person was very sincere. No, there can't be sincerity because this person ate meat, and even the person who composed that song may have been pious and may have been eating meat. That's what I was thinking about when I was asking that question. You know, sometimes in preaching we don't recognize sometimes sincerity.
Well, I mean, just like the cutting edge between Maya and Krishna is means the four regulative principles. If somebody breaks the four regulative principles, he's in Maya's kingdom. There's no doubt about it. He's not in the spiritual world. That's the great divide that penetrates any type of religiosity. Those who follow these basic principles, namely no meat, fish, and eggs, no illicit sex, gambling, it's intoxication, well, they are following purely. That's a great divide. And those who don't, they're in Maya's kingdom. It's simple as that. So you find in other traditions also people who are on this side, who follow these principles. I mean, James, the brother of the Lord, is said in the church history, James, the brother of the Lord, neither eat meat nor drank wine from his mother's womb. So he became the head of the Jerusalem community in the beginning. The followers of Jesus were led by James after Jesus disappeared. So if he didn't eat meat from his mother's womb, what does it make the mother who happens to be Mary? It makes her a vegetarian. That means it's highly unlikely that Jesus would eat meat if his brother was not eating meat. And so there's a huge meat-eating underground, non-meat-eating vegetarian underground has been at any time in Christianity. It's an underground. An underground of reincarnation, originally. Church Father Alexandria Clement believed in reincarnation. There's an underground of knowledge. But on the surface, it's an ocean of darkness. And mundane religion has done anything they could to kill the underground. In the 12th century, you had a wonderful form of spirituality in Christianity. The Cathars in South France, they believed in A, vegetarianism, B, reincarnation, and C, procreation only for producing children, sexuality only for producing children. They were slaughtered, 1 million of them, because not because people didn't like their faces, because of their philosophy. So there's an underground of purity everywhere. Mood of goodness is in everything. And you find mood of goodness everywhere. Even in the heart of Kamsa, there's some mood of goodness somewhere. It may be the size of a pea, but it is there. And so you always find in other traditions, certainly also people who reached a high degree of God realization due to their dedication and their surrender. And so we admire these people, we respect these people, we highly admire. At the same time, we know that the scriptures of the meat eaters are full of mistakes. They have been manufactured recently. They're not eternal like the Vedic scriptures. And that's what Prabhupada said in the commentary to the Kazi. I mean, think of this. Lord Chaitanya has a soft heart of Srimati Radharani. It's a Radha's heart, practically speaking. When he talked about to the Kazi, he who is softness personified said, "You go to hell. Because in your scriptures it is stated that you can eat your mother. And for every hair on the hide of a cow, as many years you have to suffer in hell." That's Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Padayati Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namni Goratvi. He was the most merciful. But when it came to that, heart like a thunderbolt, he didn't mince meat. He didn't mince meat. He was, extremely harsh. I sat in a meeting with Srila Prabhupada. I translated a discussion between Prabhupada and Professor Porsche in Germany. And Prabhupada listened to Professor Porsche for a long time. He asked him, "What is your philosophy?" He was a big philosopher and theologian. And when he was finished, Prabhupada said, "So 2,000 years have passed, and still you don't understand Jesus." He said, "Because if you understand Jesus, you understand Krishna. And if you understand Krishna, you understand Jesus. And if you love Krishna, you must love Jesus. And if you love Jesus, you must love Krishna. What is the problem?" Prabhupada asked him, "What is the problem?" And then he said, "The founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness declares herewith publicly that Jesus is practically speaking his guru. But for the Christians, he has only sharp words." So he was very strong there on this point. He appreciated anybody who was sincere of any religion. But those who say, "Lord, Lord," those who follow in name only, like Jesus said himself, they say, "Lord, Lord," but their heart is far away from me. For those, Lord Chaitanya or Jesus had no sympathy. There are plenty of people who say, "Lord, Lord," but their heart is far away from the Lord. They're karmis. Karmis they go to church, they go to a mosque, they do this, they do that, they go to the temple, but their heart is far away. They may stand in front of the deity and pray, "Oh my Lord, please, give me a house in the sea and a color TV, Jaya Jagadish Hare." It's a prayer, no doubt about it. But you should pray for love of God, not for house and the sea, color TV. That may be very applicable prayer in modern Bombay society, a very popular prayer, but it has nothing to do with reality. It means people are out of touch with themselves. That's all. They're totally out of touch with themselves. They've forgotten who they are. They think they're the body. Therefore, house at the sea, color TV. Nonsense, people. They're in Maya. So people are in Maya everywhere, in every spirituality. You find people, plenty of people in Maya. Sometimes we are in Maya. I have been in Maya sometimes, big time. You find yourself. If you think you never fall into Maya, good luck. Krishna will slap you in the face. Just a matter of time. Therefore, Trinad api sinichna tarola api sinichna amanina manadina kirtaniya sadari. Lower than the grass. The grass comes up as soon as you lift your foot, you know, it comes up again. You know, I'm a great devotee. But we should always stay in this position of dependency, that Krishna can drop us into Maya any moment, if he wants to. We have to be humble and sincere and chant and ask for his mercy to deliver us. Then there is hope. With Krishna, there is hope. Without Krishna, it is hopeless. So I want to end now. I thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to preach at Chaupati. I will stay here as long as Maharaj is here. I have treatment in the hospital, but I cancel all my treatments because I don't have this opportunity very often. I stay for the flower festival and I stay for the Sunday. Then I go back to the hospital for treatment. It's nice to be in Chaupati. It's a wonderful community. Everything I thought a community should stand for, love, trust, cooperation, service, I find here. Very rare. Something very rare to be found elsewhere. Impersonalism is a very strong element in our movement. Maybe not philosophically, but as far as day-to-day application is concerned, we tend to be, at least in the West, extremely impersonal. I remember my wife fell from the stairs in the 9th month, and our child was properly conceived, according to Shastra. There was absolutely no stain in the conception of my son Madan Mohan. She fell from the stairs, nobody would lift her up, and Brahmacharini called from the top, "That's what you get when you have sex." And she couldn't get up. Finally, a Brahmachari came and lifted her up. I mean, even karmis have a better understanding than that. So sometimes we have experienced impersonalism to the utmost. Due to the fact that we go from indulgence to denial, from indulgence in bodily affairs to denial of personal relationships, of physical maintenance. Body is a temple of God. One should live a healthy life only, instead in Bhagavatam, 2nd canto, because it enables one to understand the truth. So our relationship to our body should be first class. It is Krishna's tool. Our relationship to other Vaishnavas. Body, mind, intelligence, spirit should all be in one harmony, in oneness. That's holiness. Whole, W-H-O-L-E, but also holy, holy. The word holy comes from whole, complete. So we have to be loving and caring and understand these are the most important people that come through this door, that search Krishna. They're rare. There are millions of people in this town who don't come to this conclusion. They're rare souls. They're very fortunate. And we should be dasa, 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 no dasa, and be so glad that we have come here and we have this wonderful association of like-minded souls. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, who has created our good fortune. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.